What are some of the clinical research reports that have come out in the last year since we talked that, you know, you found interesting and exciting?
Right now, I'm so focused on trying to understand signal transduction pathways, understanding the new targets, and focusing on therapies that I tend to be most interested in those papers, which are not really trial papers. They don't really have an immediate implication for how we're going to treat breast cancer today, but rather for 10 years down the road. So I have to say, that's probably where I spend most of my reading time nowadays.
That's interesting. What are some of the things that are happening in that arena that you think are of interest or exciting?
Well, I'm trying to think about specifically breast cancer. You know, I gave a talk earlier this year in which I said we will see the end of breast cancer in our lifetime. But there's a catch. I don't think we're going to define cancers on the basis of histology. In fact, I frequently have stated that histology is a surrogate, and it really came into widespread use in the early part of the 20th century. We don't oftentimes recognize just how recent the widespread use of histology to define a cancer is. In other words, rather than define it by big mass and by symptoms and by spread, we began to define these lesions that had a particular histologic characteristic as cancer. And I wonder from time to time, what if we were to apply the standards that we use today for defining an appropriate surrogate to histology? Would it pass muster?
You tell me.
I suspect not. We throw out lots of things as surrogates that have at least as good an association with certain outcomes, such as death, as histology has. Remember, only 1 out of 4 breast cancer patients dies of breast cancer. Most die of other things. Again, something easy to forget. So going forward, I think that we're probably slowly moving away from the time when we will define cancers as breast cancers, lung cancers, colon cancers, but rather we're going to define them by molecular characteristics, by certain mutations. Right now, I focus predominantly on the AKT pathway. Whether that becomes the important pathway that we think it will remains to be seen. It's certainly one of the newest of the signal transduction pathways to be identified, to be understood, and it clearly has a major role in cancer. So things like the mTOR inhibitors are, I think, of particular interest. Also using biologicals together, or just reviewed a poster where this was from UCLA, where they had utilized Herceptin and Avastin together and showed responses that you couldn't get when patients were treated with Herceptin alone. I think we're moving into the era when we'll begin to use biologicals together as well as combine biologicals with chemotherapy. So granted, it's still very early in this meeting to say what's most interesting, but that was certainly one of the more interesting things that I've looked at thus far, just a phase 2 study. It's still small, but it's in the midst of all of those things that I think we're going to find our clues to where we'll be in 10 years.
What are some of the ways to look at classifying breast cancer that seem to sort of make the most sense to you, new ways to classify it?
I don't believe that there's any way of classifying breast cancer right now. In other words, where you start by defining the histologic disease, breast cancer, and then you subdivide it, that's any better than what we've had in the past. We see multiple papers here, and every year we see them on prognostic factors. And if we combine 2 of this and 3 of that, we get a better probability of predicting the chance of recurrence than if we take 4 of this and 1 of that. I personally don't pay much attention to those papers because they oftentimes don't have any biological meaning that I can understand. And therefore, I think we're still a ways away from really making meaningful correlations. The things that I found most interesting are the microarray patterns that have been defined. I think maybe the Stanford group has led that effort. But we don't really have clear-cut correlations yet that become of practical importance in terms of day-to-day management of the patients. And possibly we will in the near future, but we're not quite there yet. But that's the kind of thing that I find interesting.
And when you talk about this idea of sort of a different taxonomy of cancer, are you saying that, you know, we'll define some type of genomic pattern and then the patients who we would have called with breast, lung, colorectal cancer, within those, sort of pulling those out as a classification?
Well, I'm not saying even within those. What I'm saying is that, for example, which isn't borne out by data, by the way, but we would theoretically classify all tumors that have amplification of HER2 together.
Right.
The reason I say it's not borne out is because I haven't seen compelling data that Herceptin works in non-breast cancer tumors that have HER2 amplification. Now, I've not looked at that data critically to ask, well, is there enough statistical power? Do we have enough?